Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. You should know there's been a Joe Biden sighting. Well, wait a minute. Not a sighting at all. I'm not even, the audio isn't good enough. I'm not going to bother with it. Dome did a rally and Joe Biden supposedly called into the rally, but even Dome kind of references it as a recording instead of a call, and there was no video. We still have not laid eyes on the man who announced he's not running for president anymore. This is the weirdest freaking story. Anyway, so we're going to get to a bunch of emails this hour. I'm going to speak very frankly with you here in a minute about what I believe about the shooting or some suspicions I have when it comes to the attempted assassination of Trump and many other things, but you know what? Let's just dig in there. So we're going to get to Bill Gates and we're going to get to this Frank Biden stuff. Again, the Biden story gets really weird, but let me just wrap up this Secret Service Trump assassination attempt topic for now by saying this. As we've said many times, once your government gets corrupt and rotted, once it's more than the government, actually, once all of our systems, our institutions become this corrupt and rotted, what's going to happen is this: terrible things. I know that's a general way to put it, but terrible things will happen. Terrible things will happen more frequently than they happened when we had good institutions, when we had good things in place. The never-ending argument I'm going to have and you're going to have, it's not even an argument, but the never-ending, I guess, hypothetical, the never-ending theory, the never-ending conversation is going to be, was this malice or was this incompetence? And this is going to be an argument until the day they fire me. We will be having this conversation because our institutions are broken. And right now, what we're talking about the most is the attempted assassination of Donald Trump, 2 inches away from death. And right now, we all want to know, what are we dealing with here when it comes to the Secret Service, the FBI, the federal government? What happened that day? Are we dealing with malice or are we dealing with incompetence? Or are we dealing with a combination of the two? And what's going to be frustrating about that conversation we are going to constantly have is this. Oftentimes, we won't ever know. Most of the time, we will never truly know. We will have theories. We will have suspicions. It'll be this little video, this little article, this little source, this little whistleblower. It'll be this and that. We'll have little windows here and little windows there where we think we might know. But because the system itself is so corrupt and so based entirely on lies, we're not going to know. When that plane falls out of the sky, or more likely, since they fired all the white air traffic controllers, they're all suing right now, I should note. A bunch of air traffic controllers were fired because of the color of their skin. They passed the test. They found out they were white. They canned them. I think it was over 700 of them and decided they needed to remake the test. So when two planes collide, and they will, They will. I'm very sad to say that, because that's going to be, what, 400, 500, 600 deaths. When two planes collide over a U.S. airport and a bunch of people die, it's going to prompt all kinds of outrage and sadness and what happened. And are we going to know? Are we going to know it was the DEI hires they put in there? No. How would we ever know that when the entire system is built on protecting said DEI hires? It's not as if they're going to come out and say, you know what? It was that diversity thing, guys. It was the DEI hires, and that's on us. We don't know. When it comes to things like the attempted assassination of Donald Trump, look, there's a lot of smoke.
Does the Secret Service routinely record communications between and amongst detail?
Radio communications?
Any communication.
Well, email communications are captured, as well as text messages. And then, depending on the detail, radio communications are recorded.
Does the Secret Service have recorded communications from the July 13th event?
We do not have radio communications from that day.
Oh, the radio comms? They don't have them. Now, what do you think that is? Is that malice or incompetence? And our biases, let's see how fancy that was, Chris? What, Chris? And our biases, this is what they do. We have a tendency, I'm certainly guilty of this, of automatically assuming it's malice because these are dirty, demonic, communist scum. Maybe they don't have those communications because some dirty communist did something really bad and deleted them. Maybe we don't have the radio communications because some moron who was hired forgot to hit record. Maybe someone fat fingered the delete button. I don't know. You don't know. And we will never know. And this is going to be our endless frustration. Look, here's another great example when it comes to this Trump thing. You've heard the slanted roof thing. She said, oh, we didn't have Secret Service up there because the roof was too slanted.
At any point Saturday, did the Secret Service have an agent on top of that roof?
Sir, I'm sure, as you can imagine, that we are just 9 days out from this incident, and there's still an ongoing investigation. And so I want to make sure that any information that we are providing
to you is factual. Okay. Why did the Secret Service not? Can you answer why the Secret Service didn't place a single agent on the roof?
We are still looking into the advanced process and the decisions that were made.
Okay. Wasn't that building within the perimeter that should be secured? Do we agree with that?
The building was outside of the perimeter on the day of the visit. But again, that is one of the things that during the investigation we want to take a look at and determine whether or not other decisions should have been made.
Okay, I'm just going to pause here. I'm going to let her keep going. She goes on for another minute. But again, just this testimony, just that 45 seconds you just heard. What are you hearing? What am I hearing? What are we hearing? Are we hearing a dirty liar? Are we hearing somebody who's covering something up? Lying about everything? Or are we just hearing a moron who was hired because she's a diversity hire, because she's a woman? We already know that this woman got the job because Jill Biden was very fond of her. Are we hearing incompetence? Are we hearing malice? I don't know. You don't know. But it's bad.
One of the things that you said, I believe, in an interview, that there wasn't an agent on the roof because it was a slope roof. Is that normal? And do you fear that immediately creates an opportunity for future would-be assassins to look for a slanted roof? I mean, this is a huge question that every American has. Why wasn't a Secret Service agent on the roof? And there have been reports that agents were supposed to be on the roof, but it was hot that day and they didn't want to be on the roof. Can you answer any of those questions, Director?
So I appreciate you asking me that question, Chairman. I should have been more clear in my answer when I spoke about where we placed personnel in that interview. What I can tell you is that there was a plan in place to provide overwatch, and we are still looking into responsibility.
Let's talk about the slanted roof thing, because it goes right back to what we've been saying. Are we dealing with malice or incompetence? Secret Service director came out right afterwards and said, well, we didn't have someone on that roof because it was too slanted. When you, me, we can all look at the counter snipers that we've seen on video 100 times. They're on a roof that's way more slanted. In fact, that these guys are all trained for that. They're all trained for that. That's nothing abnormal at all. So when she said that, Are we dealing with a liar? A liar who's covering up something bad, sinister, evil? Are we dealing with a liar who's covering up incompetence? There was incompetence, and she's lying to cover up that incompetence. Or are we just dealing with all the way around incompetence? Is our government, including formerly revered agencies like the Secret Service, is our government now full of people who are so stupid and incapable that none of our institutions are able to complete any of the missions they've been given? I don't know. You don't know, and we won't ever know. And that will be our frustration. So get used to it. Learn to accept it. I am frustrated by it. I know you're frustrated by it. We just want the truth, right? I just want the truth. You just want the truth. Just tell me what happened. Who did wrong? Is this something larger? Is it a lone gunman? Is it this? Is it that? Is the Secret Service, are they stupid? Are they evil? Or are they, was it just a bad day? Was it, what are we doing? I don't know. And we may never know. And we probably will never know. What we do know is this. Going forward, as we've seen already, things are going to be bad. Bad things are going to happen is how I actually want to phrase that. Bad things are going to happen with more frequency, and they're going to be worse things than normal bad things happening. And every time a new tragedy, a new horror, a new whatever it is comes down, we're gonna sit down, you and me, just like we're doing right now, and we're going to have this discussion, argument, like I said, we're theorizing. I don't know how we want to put it. What was this? Malice or incompetence? Just get used to having to have that conversation. All right. All right. Let's do some emails. Before we do the emails, let's do some chalk. Actually, I don't think you want to say you do chalk because that makes it sound like a drug. Chalk is a natural. It's natural things. Chalk is natural supplements. Natural herbal supplements. You see, the truth is we've relied on other things for far too long when we should be relying on nature. And the hardcore anti-communists at Chalk, they're out there tackling a lot of very serious problems, the truth is. Testosterone is a huge problem in this country, or the lack thereof. It's a huge problem. We've lost 50% of our testosterone in 50 years. We cannot go on like this. Start some natural herbal supplements. Start a male vitality stack from Chalk, gentlemen. 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days. You're going to feel so good. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse, or call them or text them. 50CHOQ3000. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Remember, you can email the show, Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Okay, I said I wasn't going to play it, but we talked about it, and I'm going to play it for you. Again, I can't believe we haven't seen Joe Biden since he announced he's not running for president. But they say he called in, not making this a phoner, an audio-only phoner. He phoned in to a rally Dome was having. And if you want to hear how truly awkward this was, here was 30 seconds of, I guess, Joe Biden.
It is so good to hear our president's voice. Joe, I know you're still on the call, and we've been talking every day. You probably
hold on, pause.
You guys heard it
stop. Chris, would you do me a favor and rewind that to the beginning, if you don't mind? Because there are little slip-ups we make that are revealing from time to time. I'm not saying that's what this was. But I want you to focus specifically on what Dome says when she says, Joe, I know you're still on the, what was it again, Chris?
It is so good to hear our president's voice. Joe, I know you're still on the call, and we've been
Joe,
talking every day.
I know you're still on the call. She was about to say recording. I know it. You know it. We haven't seen the President of the United States of America in days. He put out a letter announcing he's not running for president. And then somebody, Joe, I guess we can assume it was Joe, but maybe not. Somebody recorded a statement for Joe Biden to play with no video at Dome's rally? Are we not living in the weirdest time ever? And this is what we've talked about a lot. Get ready. As I've said, the next 40, 50 years in politics, they're not going to look anything like the last 40, 50 years have been, as things kind of spiral now. I don't know where we're going to go, but oh, and then there's this from Frank Biden. Listen to this.
Had a brief conversation with Frank Biden, one of President Biden's two younger brothers, and here's what he told us. He said, "I'm incredibly proud of my brother. Selfishly, I will have him back to enjoy whatever time we have left. He is a genuine."
Excuse me? What does that mean? I will have him back to enjoy what now?
Had a brief conversation with Frank Biden, one of President Biden's two younger brothers, and here's what he told us. He said, "I'm incredibly proud of my brother. Selfishly, I will have him back to enjoy whatever time we have left." He
to enjoy whatever time we have left? Is Joe Biden dying? He's the president of the United States of America. I'm an American citizen. I have every right to know if my president has some sort of a terminal illness, because this is not how you talk about your brother when he's not running for president and he's going to retire. This is how you talk about your brother if he has something that is going to kill him and pretty quickly.
Had a brief conversation with Frank Biden, one of President Biden's two younger brothers, and here's what he told us. He said, "I'm incredibly proud of my brother. Selfishly, I will have him back to enjoy whatever time we have left. He is a genuine..."
I will have him back to enjoy whatever time we have left. Maybe you've gone through this in your own life with, God forbid, a mother, father, husband, wife. I know many of you have. You write me emails telling me that's the language you use when you're going to the beach with mom one last time because you know she's about gone. That's not the language you use when your brother is simply retiring. This is odd, and it gets odder and odder by the day. Oh, jeez. Oracle, with Joe Biden, anyway, getting out of the race, he said some dude called Jesse Kelly called it years ago, you would like him, and the establishment Democrats looking like they're going to back to Kamala. Does this work out in favor of the potential RFK? A potential of RFK to split the Democrat vote in the general. His name's Michael. I don't think, from what I've seen, I don't think RFK is going to be a player in this election. I thought that maybe he would catch on a little more, but none of the poll numbers have reflected that. Now there are a couple, there's something that's really built in there. As Trump's lead has grown over Biden and now Harris, as Trump's lead has grown, that whole is RFK going to take too many votes from Trump away thing, that problem has kind of gone away. If RFK gets 3%, that's what he's going to get. You know, it's 2, 3, 4%. That's what he's going to get. If he gets that, well, that might matter a lot if this is a normal 48 to 49% election cycle. But if it turns out to be, and don't get ahead of yourself, I'm not going to get ahead of myself. If this turns out to be Trump curb stomping Dome, if Trump ends up dominating this thing, then the RFK thing is not going to have mattered at all. I did see there was a story. I don't know that RFK is going to be in that much longer. RFK apparently approached Trump and tried to get a job, a cabinet position of some kind, and was rejected. But that doesn't sound to me like a man who's in it for the long haul. Maybe he's going to hang up his spurs. I'm not sure. Look, he's a Kennedy. Politics has been famously dangerous for them anyway. I really wouldn't blame him. All right, I will do more emails in a moment. I'm sorry, I got to one there. I'll be better about that before I do those emails. Maybe I'll send an email right now. And I don't have to stress whether or not my phone's going to do the little, that's the sound it makes. What is that? That's the sound of an email sending, because I have Pure Talk, you see. Not only is my cell phone company the patriotic one who doesn't dump on this country, they're the company that focuses on hiring Americans.
veterans, you know, things like that. But same 5G network. Same 5G network as the big guys. So I don't drop calls. And when I send emails, they go through every single time. When you switch to PureTalk, you don't sacrifice a thing, but you spend less money. And the money you do spend goes to a company that shares and promotes your values. Why haven't you switched? You worried that it's a pain? It's 10 minutes on the phone. You can even keep your phone or get a new one. Keep your phone number. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you an extra 50%. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Don't forget, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. The Biden saga just gets weirder. Did they think they were going to calm people's fears by having him do a voice recording of some kind? And Chris just updated me, Jewish producer Chris just updated me, that Benjamin Netanyahu landed and he had a scheduled meeting with Biden, and he's being told that he can't meet with him now. Netanyahu, it got so bad, asked, well, can I meet with Trump? That's kind of hilarious. Whatever, let's get to some emails. Sergeant Oracle, would it be fair to characterize conservative attitudes as more golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, as opposed to an eye for an eye? What say you? So he said, faithful listener, you make my graveyard shift go much quicker. His name is Mike. I think that's a big part of why we see a lot of nursery rhyme conservatism. And I want to be clear when I rant on nursery rhyme conservatism. Look, there's nothing wrong with being kind. And we are commanded to love everyone, to love our neighbors. My complaint has been that that concept has been weaponized by the other side and used against us. And it's been used by our own side as an excuse not to get our hands dirty. I've used this example before, but it's a great example. Yeah, you know any cops who walk a really tough beat? Look, there are cops and then there are cops. And I don't say this to insult anybody who's a cop in a small red town. That's the life I would want, so I applaud you for it. But if you're a cop, let's say you're in my town. You're a cop in my town. You're not going to encounter a violent person tonight Might you encounter a violent person at some point in your career? Maybe, probably you will a couple times. It'll probably happen. Some drunk loses his mind. Some dude's trying to kill his wife. You may run into that. But if you're a cop in my town, it's 92% Republican. There's no violent crime whatsoever. You have a very reasonable expectation of coming home alive the next day or that day. But set that aside. We're going to set that aside. I'm talking about cops who work some real, real rough areas full of gangbangers and killers. And it's violence at all time. Robberies, assaults, murder. Kind of place where there's at least a murder a night. I want you to think about that guy. I want you to think about what he lives, works in, what he lives and works in every single day, the violence and misery. And I want you to think about what he has to do on the regular. That guy is regularly having to pretty much beat people up. Baton, pepper spray. That guy will undoubtedly have to use his weapon, his gun, at some point in time and probably take a life. That guy is surrounded by murderers, prostitutes, drugs, every day, all day, swimming through the murk and the filth. And then the youth pastor at a church in my neighborhood. Life is very safe and quiet. His neighborhood is very safe and quiet. And obviously he does a good thing. It's really important. You know, preach the gospel to the youth. That's a really important thing. When you look at those two guys, the cop who works the nasty job, murderers and hookers, versus the youth pastor, do you consider the youth pastor to be holier, better, more righteous than the cop who lives and works with all the filth? I do not. At all. Nursery rhyme conservatism has taught the right for decades that you should sit out the fights, don't ever fight, or if you do fight, oh, don't fight too hard, oh yeah, fight back, oh, not like that, oh, not like that, not in that way, oh, that makes me uncomfortable, oh, don't do that, but oh, not that, not that. That is not courage, and I don't care what you tell yourself, it's not biblical. That's not good at all. We are fighting. We are fighting, and the stakes of winning and losing are huge. Isn't that kind of cool? Kind of scary, but kind of cool. You know, I love sports. You know, I love talk. I'm going somewhere with this. Stay with me. You know, I love sports. I love talking about sports, just like a lot of dudes when I get together, especially when I used to be a football freak, get together with your boys. You see this and you see that. I was great. I think this guy's the best quarterback. I love sports. In fact, I have a good friend who does sports media. And when I was younger, I'd go sit in with him from time to time and I'd just do sports hits on him just because I love talking sports. It's fun. But I don't think I could do it every single day. You know why? What are the stakes? I love it, but what really are the stakes? Your team loses? What we talk about every day, you and me, this stuff matters to millions and millions, let's be honest, because of America's place in the world. Billions of people are affected by the politics, the power game you and me discuss on a daily basis here. What we talk about matters a lot. It's really, really, really important. And we had better win this game. We had better win this power game. If these people win this power game, this is not an exaggeration. It's not hyperbole. It's not being over the top for radio. If these people achieve final victory, billions of people will die.
I'm here in Dubai. This is
Bill Gates, by the way.
COP28, very, very important meeting. The issue of health and climate will be discussed at length. That's never gotten the attention it deserves. The issue of food systems and how with climate change, a lot of farmers aren't able to grow their crops, which is a tragedy for them.
They're attacking the food supply. Oh, you want to know another stake in this? Here's another one, because it's a lot of Christian and Catholic NGOs who are facilitating the illegal invasion of this country. And you can see, you'll see people all over the world. Well, the Bible says we're supposed to treat all the immigrants well. Here's two headlines for you. Venezuela's violent deaths
fall to a 22-year low on migration. On migration? What does that mean? Well, here's the headline. Rape surges 11% in New York City. They took all their rapists and murderers in Venezuela and they emptied out the prisons onto the streets of the United States of America. And if you think that's the Christian thing to do, you're a piece of crap. You know that? You're a piece of crap because you wouldn't be saying that if that was your daughter, if that was your wife. Oh, you're being awfully, you're being super Christian with someone else's life, with someone else's wife. This is what's happening. The stakes of the game we talk about every day are high, really, really high, higher than Hunter Biden. Jesse, the conservative media is focusing on how bad Kamala is, but I know good people who absolutely believe Trump is evil. They believe each of the media's lies. The discussion has to be about turning around those lies. Otherwise, good people will vote for anyone except Trump. Okay, well, pause on this. This is a mistake people make a lot. No, don't talk about this. Only talk about that. No, you're talking about this when you should be talking about that. Don't do that. Talk about everything. If there's something you're passionate about, if the thing you're most passionate about is all the lies they've told about Trump, then that's what you talk about with your circle of friends and family. If that's what you're hot on, you do it. Don't think that what you should be doing or what you are doing is the only way to go about politics. We all make this mistake because we're all selfish and we all think we're smarter than everyone else. It's a very human thing to do. Talk about everything. Talk about the lies they're telling about Trump. Talk about the truth about Dome. Don't leave any stone unturned. Talk about saving lives with preborn. Talk about being able, think about all the ways, just pause for a moment and think about all the ways your taxpayer money is used for despicable things, evil things. Look, I just brought up illegal immigration. Our taxpayer dollars, we're funding, we're facilitating so much of this human slave market. So that sucks. That's the bad part. Here's the good part. The money you give to preborn is tax deductible. You're giving money to preborn, which is saving the lives of the unborn by providing mothers with free ultrasounds. You are saving lives and it's tax deductible. And there's no limit on it. $28 buys the ultrasound. That's what I've always asked. But give them $28,000, $28 million. I don't give a crap what you got. Whatever you have, give them $5. Tax deductible to save a life. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you go do that. Tax deductible to save a life. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Missed out? Catch up. JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, you can email the show, Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Also, remember these little sound bites.
Mr. Producer, write this one down, please. Joe Biden is not running for re-election. I am very, very sure about that. Joe Biden's not running for office again.
The system is going to come to Joe Biden, and they're going to tap him on the shoulder, and they're going to say, Joe, we need you to go. Can't run.
The system is going to force Joe Biden, maybe not to resign, but to not run again. They're going to force him to not run again because the system only has one purpose. You and I have talked about this a million times. What is that purpose? The system's only job is to protect itself.
Gosh, that guy's so smart. What, Chris? That guy, he just nails it so often. He's so smart. I'm just really impressed. Oh, one more note on the Benjamin Netanyahu thing. Netanyahu is going to go speak before Congress. Dome has announced that she's not going to preside over the Senate when he does this. Biden's not going to be there. Dome's not going to be there. This is how conflicted the Democrat Party is now with this whole Hamas base that they have. Listen to this.
Pennsylvania's Governor Josh Shapiro is being discussed as one of Harris's potential running mates. He also endorsed her tonight. In your view, what are the pros and cons for putting him on the ticket?
Well, he's certainly under consideration. I know that from key Harris allies. He's a first-term governor. He's Jewish. There could be some risks in putting him on the ticket.
What?
What did you just say? He's a first-term governor.
Because he was one of the first ones I thought of. Arizona Senator Mark Kelly is the other. Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan, of course. And Josh Shapiro, governor in Pennsylvania. It was one of the first ones I thought. Remember, you need to be thinking strategically. That's how they think. Think swing states, fairly popular politicians in their swing states. And apparently Josh Shapiro's being considered, but we do have that little Jew problem.
Pennsylvania's Governor Josh Shapiro is being discussed as one of Harris's potential running mates. He also endorsed her tonight. In your view, what are the pros and cons for putting him on the ticket?
Well, he's certainly under consideration. I know that from key Harris allies. He's a first-term governor. He's Jewish. There could be some risks in putting him on the ticket.
They're in a really, really healthy place, aren't they? Wow. Wow.
Hi, wannabe front man for Deleterious Consequences. You often talk about your construction history and its ups and downs. Now that you're into radio, what's the most rewarding part of being in the industry, in your view? Thanks, Jesse. Her name is Cheryl. It's not even close. Not even close. The best thing about what I do is when I meet you or when you email in with some way that the show makes your life better. I know that sounds stupid and hokey, but look, talk to Chris about it. Talk to Michael about it. We love it. And this as far as making your life better, we've had emails from people of, hey, I got off heroin because of your show. We've had that email. Hey, we listen in prison. We love your show. Looking forward to getting out, making life better. Hey, I stopped drinking. Hey, I have no idea why that would be because I'm so stupid, but those make our day. But to little things too. Hey, I just want you to know I listen with my dad on the way to school and I love it. Hey, my son and I listen to your show while we do woodworking in the garage. It's great bonding time. We love it. I know that's stupid. Is that stupid? Does that make me sound stupid? It makes my day. It's better than any other part of it that makes my day. Making one person's life a little bit better makes my day. All right. Now, it's time
to... Ceasefire now. Let's get it popping.
What, Chris? What? And yes, I did hear everyone stop emailing me and telling me about Sheila Jackson Lee passing away. Obviously, I know Sheila Jackson Lee, the congresswoman from Houston, passed away. I don't... Look, when people pass away who I maybe wasn't a big fan of in life, I don't celebrate their passing. That's not really something you want to do. I don't celebrate their passing. But I also don't come on the radio and act like I'm sad either. The only reason I'm bringing this up now is this is kind of a philosophy on the show. When people pass who I don't really care for, I just don't really say much of anything at all. After all, it's such a heavy topic.
It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
Now, headlines.
And now...
Here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Blinken points to wider pledges to support Ukraine in case the U.S. backs away under Trump. Don't you find it, no matter where you stand on this whole thing, don't you find it a little bit creepy and revealing how committed these people are to making sure this conflict goes on forever? They're already making plans in case Trump wins and tries to get us out of it. They're already making plans for other nations to come together to make sure the show continues to go on. What is it about this particular place that has fascinated the world's elite? It's not the only invasion. It's not the only war going on that's going on all over Africa, Asia, other parts. Yet Ukraine is the one they seem to be focused on the most. I wonder why that is. Report. Secret Service denied requests to increase Trump's security for years. Years, he was Jim Jordan.
He said he acknowledged the Secret Service had turned down some requests. I'm asking how many?
A denial of a request does not equal a vulnerability.
Well, tell me what it is.
There are a number of ways that threats and risks can be mitigated with a number of different aspects.
Again, I don't know what we're dealing with, malice, incompetence, both, and we may never know, but this is going to be our struggle figuring it out. Scoop,
Biden doubted Harris's election chances. That's from Axios today. Well, looks like that ship has already sailed. And let's be frank, I think most of us are doubting Harris's election chances. It can't be her. Democrats privately working against the Kamala Harris nomination. This would be Democrats like Jasmine Crockett.
I am not confident at all because, as it was laid out earlier, I do know that, you know, behind closed doors, while I won't name names, that there were people that were absolutely like, it can't be the vice president. So in one breath, they were saying, you know, the president needs to be out. In the next breath, they were also saying it can't be her.
And that's exactly why a lot of the street animals get purged so quickly. They get way too honest. We're going to do this again tomorrow. I cannot wait. Who knows what this soap opera is going to look like by the time we get back tomorrow, but we will be here, all right? That's all.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.